Okay, good morning, and may our learning be a merit. Lilu Nishmas, Meira Chaya, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bas David Mordechai. And we are going to learn Bezrat Hashem today, the third parak of Masechet Tamid, which is one daf, and all of these nine Mishnayos continue with the order of the day in the Beis HaMikdash. So, after the Kohanim had put the two logs on the big bonfire to add to the fire, Amalahena Mamunah, the person in charge, would say to the Kohanim who had come to the Lishkas HaGazis, the room of the cut stone, to be chosen to do some of the service of the Karban Tamid. So he would say to them the following. All right, let's say there were 30, 40 people there. He'd say, Bova Afisu, come and let's do a lottery to now choose the members of the Karban Tamid service. So that would be for 13 things. Number one, Mi Ashochet. Who's gonna slaughter the Karban Tamid? Then, Mi Azorek. Who's going to catch the blood, walk it to the altar, and throw it on the side of the altar? That's the second. Three, Mimidashim is Be'ach HaPnimi. Who's going to go into the Heichal, into the holy building, and take the ashes off of the golden altar and bring them out to next to the ramp? Then four, Mimidashim is HaMenorah. Who's going to clean out the lamps of the menorah, of the burnt wick and the ash, and also drop it next to the ramp of the Mizbeach? Five, Mi male evarim lakevesh. In other words, who amongst you is going to be bringing up the limbs, the parts of the karban ola, of the tamid, to the ramp, and then we're going to throw it from the ramp into the fire? So there were six people that were chosen. So this is now the fifth. Harosh v'aregel shel yamin. Who? One person was going to be chosen to carry the head of the lamb of the karban tamid, and the right leg. Then another person was chosen for shtei yadayim, for the two front arms. Then a seventh person now was chosen for ha'ukats, for the tail with regel smol, with the left leg. Then we have an eighth person chosen for chaza v'geira, to bring up the chest and the throat, the entire digestive tract. And then we have a ninth person chosen for the shtei hatfanos, for the two walls. And then we have a tenth person who chosen for the kravayim, for the intestines. And finally, an 11th person who's chosen to bring the soles, to bring the fine flour, which is going to be thrown into the fire. A 12th person to bring up the chavitin, the karban paid for by the Kohen Gadol, the special meal offering of the Kohen Gadol. And finally, the 13th was to bring the yayin. And then he would say, Hafisu, okay, everybody, let's do the lotteries. And zacha misha zacha. Anyone who would merit, you know, somebody would merit to get to do each of these acts of service.
The only person was allowed to do
what's
the
that? One second.
Watches.
Yes.
How many Kohanim per watch?
One. One. No, the minimum was to have one.
No, but what was usually, how many Kohanim were on a watch?
On the shift.
Oh, on the shift? I don't know. A lot.
A lot. Those are the families.
But this was a 7-day shift, so 13 times 7. But once you made the lottery on one day, Yom Sheni, you also had a chance on Yom Shlishi.
Yeah.
Were you out?
Yeah, you had a chance.
How close was all the rooms to each other?
And what's that?
How close were all the rooms to each other? And also, what's called, were the guards carrying the room?
guards were Kohanim and Levim. Kohanim and Levim, yeah.
How often did this lottery attend? What was the duration?
Every day.
The lottery every day they were doing it.
Every day morning they had to do this every morning?
This was the typical service.
The only
service.
Person was allowed to go to Kodesh Kodeshim was the Kohen Gadol.
On Yom Kippur, but that's for something else.
Only for Yom Kippur.
That's right.
But everybody, any Kohen could get in there?
For these privileges. Okay, the second Mishnah. Amar Lahan. So then the Memuna would say to those Kohanim who are standing here in the Lishkas Kagazis, go out now out of the Lishkas Kagazis and go up to the roof. And see if there's enough light out for us to be able to shecht the carbon tamid. If there was enough light, Haroa Omer, the one who would see it, would scream out, Barakai. It's Barakai from the word Lahavrik, to glitter. So, the light is glittering. There is a lot of light out. So Masi ben Shmuel Omer, Masi ben Shmuel says, it wasn't enough that there was light, but he would have to say, there's so much light. Heir Pnei Kala Mizrach. The entire eastern side is lit up. There's so much light out there, the whole eastern horizon is lit up. So then they would ask him, Ad Sheba Chevron? Because there's so much light that the light reaches all the way down to Chevron? Omar Haney would say yes, and then they'd say, okay, now we can start the service.
Do we know what time that is?
We call it Amud HaShachar, and there's light outside. How long Amud HaShachar?
I'm not seeing the sun.
1 hour and
15. The light.
One hour and 15 minutes before night.
Some would say an hour before night. It's different opinions.
But that's a demon. Nea Mizrach is not the net yet?
Not yet, no.
So what do we call that time?
The earliest time to daven. No, 6:18 is Mishiyakir. It's when you can tell the difference between green and blue. A little bit later, yeah. All right, now the third Mishnah. So if it's light out, it's time to shech the carbon tamid. Amalehen, so the one in charge used to say to those Kohanim who were still in the Lishkas Hagazis, in the room of the cut stone, go out and bring a sheep from the room of the sheep. In other words, there was a room where they would put the sheep. They would check it the night before to make sure there were no blemishes on it. It wasn't a balmum. And they'd have a room of sheep, of checked sheep. So they would say, okay, now go to that room and bring a sheep from the Lishkas Hatzlayim, which we're going to shecht as the Karban Tamid. So he would go to that room. Now, where was the Lishkas Hatzlayim? Hare Lishkas Hatzlayim Nesuna B'Miktsoa Tzfonis Ma'aravis. The Lishkas Hatzlayim was in a corner. It was in the northwestern corner of the Beis HaMoked. So we've been learning about the Beis HaMoked. We saw these pictures of Kohanim sleeping on the floor of the Beis HaMoked, a big fire in the Beis HaMoked, Kohanim sleeping along the walls of the Beis HaMoked. And on all those pictures, there were four rooms on the corners. So one of those rooms is the room called the Lishkas Hatzlayim. It's the room on the northwest, like on that side, towards the Kotel, the northwest corner. That was the room of Lishkas Hatzlayim. Says the mission now, what was going on in the other rooms of the Beis HaMoked? Arba Lashakos Hayusham. There were four chambers in the Beis HaMoked on the four corners. Achas Lishkas Hatzlayim. One was the chamber which had all the sheep for the Karbanos. Achas Lishkas HaChosamos. Another chamber was the chamber of all the earthenware seals. Let's say a person had promised to bring a Karban Mincha. So he had to get flour and he had to get wine. So they would go to this room, the room of the seals. They would give him the money equal to the Mincha and the wine. He would give them a seal with the name of what they had purchased. And he would then go to the room where the menachos and the wine were. He would give them this seal. And in return, that person would give him the flour and wine that he had purchased. Then there was, as we said, the achas lishkas hatlaim. One was the room for all the sheep. Achas lishkas chosamos. The other one was the room of the seals. Achas lishkas beis hamokid. Then there was a room called the room of beis hamokid. Even though the whole room as a whole is called beis hamokid. So what was the significance of this room? One opinion says, the Rambam says, that the Beis HaMokid was called Beis HaMokid because it had a big bonfire. That this room was the room that had the bonfire. That's one opinion. And the Rush said that no, the big bonfire was in the big room. The room of Beis HaMokid had a smaller bonfire that was used to light the big bonfire. So that's why it's called Lishkas Beis HaMokid, the room or the chamber, the office of the Beis HaMokid. And finally, the fourth room, V'achas was l'lishka sha'osim ba'lechem apanim. That was the room in which they would make the lechem apanim, which was on the southeastern corner of the Beis Hamokid. Okay, so that's a little bit of what was going on in each of the corners of the Beis Hamokid. Now the fourth Mishnah. Going back to the service of the Karban Tamid. So the Kohen would go to the room of the Tzlayim, the room of the sheep. You bring a sheep. And then Nichnasu the Kohen would go in, Lishkas HaKelim, to the room of all the utensils. And there they would take utensils. Otsiu Misham Tishim Ushlosha Klei Chesed V'Klei Zav. 93 silver and gold utensils, which are needed for the service of the Kohanim.
We learned the other day that they went in and they checked all the utensils before, but
that's right. That's just to make sure that nothing was stolen, everything was sitting in its place.
I thought that was closer to the mizbeach.
Right. Well, the Ravid says the mission doesn't tell us where this room was, so it could be it was out in the Azara. But I'm not sure if. Yeah, I guess so. I guess it was this room. All right. So then, Hishkues HaTamid, because Shel Zahav. Then they would give the Karban Tamid water to drink. Because if the animal drinks water, so then it's easier to separate its skin from its frame. And that's going to be a big part of the service of the Karban Tamid. It's going to be the skinning of the animal and the cutting up into the different pieces for it to be taken over to the Mizbeach and then salted and thrown into the fire. So first they would give it to drink water, but as we saw, they would give it to drink in a cup of gold. And as we learned yesterday, there are those who say that this is an exaggeration. Others say that no, since the Beis HaMikdash was so opulent and beautiful, this was in fact appropriate that they were using gold to hold the water for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Karban Tamid. Okay, afal pishu muvukami ba'erev. Now, even though this lamb was checked the night before to make sure there was no blemish, because otherwise it wouldn't be in the Lishkat HaTlaim in the first place. The whole point of Lishkat HaTlaim is that it's a room filled with checked animals. But, then they would check it again in the morning. They don't have so much sunlight. It's just the light is lighting up on the horizon. So they used to use torches to check it now a second time from any blemishes. Okay, so going back to the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Misha Zacha B'dishan Mizbeach HaPnimi. Whichever Kohen had won, or U'B'dishan HaMizbeach U'Menorah, right? So the two Kohanim who had won the privilege, one to clear off the ashes from the golden altar that's in the Heichal, and one to clear out the lamps of the menorah, Hayu Makdimin. So they would now walk to the Heichal, before even the shechting of the Tamid. Barba Kelim B'yadam. Now these two Kohanim would have in their hands four utensils. One was Hateni. Hateni was a very big basket. And in that basket they used to put the ash of the golden Mizbeach. Secondly, they had the Kuz. because it was a small utensil, sort of like a ladle, in which they would put the ashes of the menorah. And secondly, they had shtei maftechot, they had two keys, because as we're going to see, there were two locks on the small door that they would use at this point to go into the Heichal. The Heichal had very big gates, and those big gates were very loud. They wouldn't use those gates when they would go in to clean out, right? As Izzy says, they used to use a pishpesh, a small door. So that small door, the pishpesh, had two locks to it. So they had to have two keys to open the two locks, to get into the Heichal, to then take the ashes off of the golden Mizbeach, and take the ashes out of the menorah. All right, what do these utensils look like? Hateni dome letarkav. The teni looks like the tarkav utensil. The tarkav is a utensil that holds three kabim. It was shel zahav. It was made out of gold, but it actually doesn't hold three kabim, though it looks like the utensil that holds three kabim. It only holds machzik kabayim v'chetzi. It holds 2.5 kav. Kuz is a different utensil. Dome lekiton gadol. Looks like a big barrel, which is narrow on the top and wide on the bottom. And it also was, shelzah, was made out of gold. Now what about the keys? Shtei amaftechos, the two keys that they had, was to open, as Izzy said, the pishpesh, the small door that was to the north of the gate of the Heichal. Now, why did they need two keys? Because there were two locks. Echad shu yored ba'amas hashechi. There was one lock that the Kohen had to put his arm in all the way till his armpit to get to. Now, there was a lock on the bottom of the door, so he'd have to lean in, put his arm in all the way to the pit, to the armpit, to get to that lock and to open it. And then there was a second echad shu poseach bo keva. And then there was a second lock that was at the handle of the door that he would open quickly right away. So the Kohanim had to have two keys, one to put his arm through and get to the bottom and open up that lock, and then a second key to open up the lock that was right by the handle, and then open up the pishpesh and go into the Heichal. So now we have the story of how he did that. The Kohen would walk to the Heichal, to the building of the temple, below the pishpesh hatzfoni. He would first go to this small door that was on the north of the Heichal. Says the Mishnah, shnei pishpeshin hayu lo l'shara gadol. There were actually two small doors at the big gate. Achas batzafon. I have a nice picture here, right? There's a big gate to the Heichal. Imagine golden doors. You have a small little door on the right, small little door on the left. So they would be going to the door on the right, the door on the north. Shnei pishim shen hayu lo l'shara gadol, achas batzafon v'achas badarom. One was to the north of the gate, one was to the south of the gate. Shebet darom, the southern small door, was always locked. Lo nichnas bo adam, a person would never go into it. Alav mufurash, the verse says explicitly, al yedei Yecheskel, through Yecheskel, shenam, as it says, Vayomer elai Hashem, Hashem said to me, Ashar hazeh, this gate, sagur yiyeh, shall stay locked. Lo yipatach, it shall not open. V'ishal yavo bo, man cannot enter into it. Ki Hashem elokei Yisrael bavo, God, the Lord of Israel, comes into it. V'hu sagur, and this stays locked. So apparently there's, I see here in the footnote, they quote the Ravid as explaining that there's a certain element of respect, of showing that, you know, this is God's area, people can't walk in. So that door is locked to show this is God's domain, and where the people can walk in is on the other side. It can go in and out. Okay, so going back to the opening of the gate of the Heichal, Natal Es HaMafteach, the Kohen would take the key, Upatach es hapishpesh, he'd open the northern small door. Nichnas lahateh, he would walk in to this small chamber. There was a chamber between the walls of the Heichal. He would walk into this chamber, then he'd go to the doorway that was there, and then he would go into the Heichal. Umehateh laheichal, from the chamber he would go into the Heichal. Ad shu magia l'shar agadol, until he gets to the big gate from the inside. Right? He'd go through this small door into this like closet. Then from the closet, imagine if there'd be a closet over there on the side, right? Imagine a small door on the side. You go into this small door. You're in a closet, let's say what we have here, the stairwell. Then you go in from the other side in. So he would already be inside the Heichal. He would remove the bolt, and he would open the very, very large gate. So he would nichnas la'atzeit, go into this chamber, then from the chamber la'heichal into the Heichal, ad shemagia l'shar ha'gadol, till he gets to the big gate. When he gets to the very large gate, heavier es haneger, he would remove the bolt, and es haposchos, and the other locks that were there on this big gate, upsacho, and he would open the gate from the inside. He would open the gate of the Heichal. Now, when he opens the gate of the Heichal, it would make a very large noise. Lo haya shochet ha-shochet ad sheshomea sha'ar gadol sheniftach. They would not shecht the karban tamid until they hear this very large door opening. When they hear this big gate opening, now's the time to shecht the karban tamid. Then they would shecht the karban tamid. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about all sorts of things that would make a very, very large noise. So the Mishnah says, this large noise would go all the way to Yericho. So Yericho, which was 10 parsaos away. From Yericho, ha-yishomim kol shar gadol sheniftach. From Yericho, they would already hear this big gate when it would open. Now, other things that they would hear in Yericho. Yericho, ha-yishomim kol magrefa. There was a musical instrument called the magrefa that, how do they translate magrefa? No, the cymbals are next. Oh, the shovel, right. It was a musical instrument that they would throw on the floor. Yes, they would throw it on the floor and it would make a tremendous noise. Then Ben Arza makish batzaltzom. Ben Arza used to hit the cymbals and people would hear that. In Yericho, Yishomim called Ben Arza makish batzaltzom. In Yericho, they would hear Ben Arza when he was hitting the cymbals against each other. Yeah, question.
The distance between the Yerushalayim, Beit HaMikdash, and Jericho would be about 10 miles or something?
More.
Wow.
And they could get it in 10 miles?
30 miles. Yeah, 30 miles away.
30 miles away. Wow.
So this is noise.
I don't know.
This shovel instrument has 10 holes, and each of the holes can play 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
That's what I was
hoping. Beautiful. All right, so we've learned now three things that they would hear in Yericho. The gate of the Heichal opening, the shovel instrument, and the cymbals of Ben Arza. Fourth thing, Yericho Yishomim Kol Gvini Cruz. When Gvini, the herald, would call out, Barkai, there's a lot of light in the morning, they would hear that in Yericho too. A fifth thing, Yericho Yishomim Kol Ha'echa Asa Ben Katan Mukhnin Lakir. In Yericho, they would hear the wood and the sound of the gears of the Mukhni going, when the wheel of the Mukhni would lift up the kior from where it was submerged during the night. Miyericho Yishomim Kol Ashir. From Yericho they could already hear the song of the Levian. And Miyericho Yishomea Kol Shofar. And from Yericho they would hear the sound of the shofar, because there used to be many blasts of the shofar to accompany the offering of the karbanos. Yishomim, some say, Af Koloshul Kohen Gadol B'Shashu Masker Hashem Yom Kippurim. Also the voice of the Kohen Gadol, when he would say Hashem's name on Yom Kippur. What else would they have in Yericho? Miyericho hayom erichin reyach pitom haktores. From Yericho they would smell the smell of the ktores, of the incense. Amar Blazer ben Diglai, Rabbi Blazer ben Diglai said, Izim hayu la'aba ba'arei ha-michvar. My father had goats in these cities called Michvar. These were cities near Yerushalayim. Vayum mit'atshot mi reyach pitom haktores. And they used to sneeze from the smell of the pitam haktores, of the spices. All right, Mishnah Hey. Where would they shecht the tamid? Misha zacha b'tamid, the person who had the privilege to shecht the tamid, he had won the lottery. Meshacho, he used to pull it, v'holech lebeis hamitbachayim, and go to that area to the north of the Mizbeach, where all the
hooks were, the place of the slaughtering. And all those other Kohanim who had privileges to take certain limbs, like say the head and the right and their rear right leg, or the tail and the rear left leg, or the two front legs, or the two sides. So those who had won the privileges to take limbs, also Holchim would go with them to that place. Where's the Beis HaMitzvachayim? That's to the north of the Mizbeach. And there in the ground were Shmon Amudim, were eight stone pillars, Nanasim, that were low. Urevayim, and these stone pillars had squares of shel erez, of cedar wood, al gaven, on top of the pillars. V'unklo shel barzel yikvun behen, and they had three iron hooks on each of these squares. U'shlosh esdarim l'chal echad v'echad. And there were three arrangements to each of these hooks. Shebehen, that on these hooks, tolin, they would hang the dead carbon tamid. U'mafshitin, and they would skin it. Al shulchano shel shayis shehayu shebein amudim, on the marble tables that were between these pillars. And now the final mission of the parak. Misha zachav adishim mizbeach apnimi, the Kohen who had merited to clean out the ashes that are on the top of the golden altar. Nichnas would go into the heichal. Venatales hateni, he took with him this basket, the teni that holds a korn a half, a two and a half kav. He puts it onto the floor. Via chofen, and would use his hands to scoop up all the ash. Venosin lesocho, put it into the teni. Uvachrona, and after that, when there's only a little bit of ash left, kibed es hashar letocho, he would sweep the rest into the teni. V'inicho, he would leave the teni, v'yatza, and walk out. Misha zacha, Yadishna menorah, the person who merited to get the ash off of the menorah. Nichnas would walk into the temple, into the heichal, umatza shnei neros ma'aravios dolken. He would find the two most western candles still burning. Medashin es hashar, so then he would take off the ash from the rest and leave those two burning. Maniach es elu, leave these two. Dolken bim koman, burning in their spot. But if, when he walk in, mitzah and shekava, that they had already gone out, medashin, he would take out all of the ash, even from these, and then umadlikan min hadolkin, he would relight them from something which is burning, from another candle that's burning. V'achakach medashna sashar, and then he would clean out the rest. V'even haisa lifnei menorah, there was a stone in front of the menorah, uvash shalosh malos, which had in it three steps. Shalea koin ome, the koin would stand on these steps, umetiv asaneros, and clean out the lamps of the menorah. He would leave the kuz, the utensil that got the ashes from the menorah, on the second step, the yatza, and he would walk out of the heichal.